It's time to talk about the movie stars. George Fisher, reporting and recording. Well, the movie star who seems to be most in evidence in the Hollywood headlines today, Rita Hayworth. Rita is in the headlines for a very good reason. She, of course, you know, has exposed a letter threatening her child, Yasmin. This exposure of the threat led to headline stories, also led to guards swiftly put around the house guarding Yasmin and her unforgotten daughter by Orson Welles, Rebecca. But it's a strange way to act, I believe, because Rita Hayworth was enjoying herself in Las Vegas, where she is waiting for Dick Hames to gain his divorce from Nora Hames, who in turn is going to get free here in Los Angeles on Friday, and then Rita will marry Dick. Now, you'd think that in the turmoil, first of losing that $1 million settlement or turning it down that was offered by Prince Ali Khan in Paris earlier last week, that Rita would have more consideration for her children or for her private life or for at least their private life. But no, she flew on to Las Vegas to stay with Dick, made no pretense of what her plans were, that she was going to marry him. Meanwhile, she turned over the letter that she had received threatening Yasmin to the FBI and then blithely went on up to Vegas. She got another one while she was there and again turned it over to her attorney, who in turn turned it over to the FBI, and then guards went around the house. Now, while all this is going on, Rita is blithely boating with Dick Hames. I don't know what she's trying to do to her career, but it seems to me that this is not the best way to instill faith in movie fans. Instead of Rita rushing to the side of Yasmin and Rebecca here in Hollywood, she ordered them sent up on a plane by a nurse. So the two children and the nurse are with Rita and Dick Hames up in Las Vegas. It seems to me this is a wonderful way to instill great warmth and faith in moviegoers. That is, if you have the kind of nerve that Rita has. She doesn't care a whip, it seems to me, what goes on, so long as she can have her own fun and in her own way. The kids, even though she says she's going to turn down $1 million because she wants Yasmin to be raised as an American, not a Muslim, still doesn't mean that she goes on with any other way of thinking except how it pleases her. Rita Hayworth should be publicly spanked, I think. And if you can call this a public spanking, then you've had it, Rita. Well, our movie stars and movie people certainly make headlines throughout the country. Just think of what's happened in the last few days. June Lockhart, who is the daughter of Gene and Kathleen Lockhart, she's 27 years old and is the blonde actress of For Love or Money and Meet Me in St. Louis, in television, of course, and her husband, Dr. John Francis Maloney, a Manhattan surgeon, welcomed their first child, a daughter, in Manhattan. The new child's name, Anne Kathleen. She weighs 6.5 pounds. Likewise, Stephanie, who was weighed 8 pounds, was born to the Tyrone Powers, and he is Tyrone Power III. His second wife, Cinemactress Linda Christian. It's their second child and a second daughter, and her name, Taryn Stephanie. Weight, 8 pounds. Lana Turner, of course, was married to Lex Barker. He is Hollywood's 10th Tarzan of the Apes, and he was married for the third time, she for the fifth. Her previous marriages to millionaire playboy Bob Topping, businessman Stephen Crane, 2 marriages to him, bandleader Artie Shaw, they all ended in divorce. They were married in Turin, Italy. Everyone in Hollywood is making bets it won't last the year out. Of course, Lewis Stone died, 73 years old, old-time silent movie star of Scaramouche and The Prisoner of Zender, better known these later days as Judge Hardy. Well, in Time magazine, which will be on sale later this week, and I have looked at an earlier copy, it's interesting to find that they hail the critical times in Hollywood. For example, at Republic Pictures, where 4 new stages are being built to make films for TV. President Herbert Yates noted that his laboratory processed more TV film than motion picture film in the past year. There's only one way to beat television, said Yates. That's to get in it. And director Frank Capra, who made It Happen One Night, revealed that he's been preparing a series of educational TV movies for the past year, titled Man, the Explorer, and each film will run about an hour as a combination of entertainment and factual science. Things were so slow at MGM, that Joan Crawford, working on Torch Song, had the full use of three dressing rooms. And at Paramount there, Slow, where even the big tank for shooting water scenes was dry, most of the gardeners were let go and secretaries were permitted to uproot the plants and take them home. How do you like that? Hollywood, a rushing, rushing business town. And I have to laugh, too, because one of the headlines in the trade papers today reads, Hollywood picture production in big boost. Where? Over in Europe or in New York or in Culver City? Surely not in Hollywood. This is also the night when Verish, who is the wife of movie star Dane Clark, has the exhibition of her 27 new paintings, paintings that include the clowns from Ringling Brothers' Barnum and Bailey Circus, and also landscapes from the Casbah from sunny Spain and France. She paints under the name Verish, and her showing will be tonight for 3 weeks in the Francis Lynch Galleries at the Statler Hotel. She's expecting a number of movie stars down for the opening, as well as the press and photographers, rather on the glamorous Hollywood side, but certainly Verish, who has been described as one of the greatest painters discovered in 40 years in America, deserves all of this acclaim. She recently had a showing in Paris where she was terribly acclaimed, also in San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. So Hollywood is looking forward to this wonderful exhibition of her oil paintings of clowns and landscapes. For 3 weeks, starting tonight, the Lynch Gallery, Statler Hotel. Incidentally, your reporter is going to have a lot of fun tonight. He will be on hand at the Chianti restaurant for tonight and every night this week. I'm going to let Pat and Elsie Russo, who own the restaurant, vacation in New York City while I take over and sort of run their beautiful Italian restaurant. It's very atmospheric, very delightful. And I'm going to sort of feature one of my own favorite dishes over there, scampi, which is shrimp over a bed of rice with beautiful Italian sauce. I hope to see you at Chianti at the corner of Melrose and Martell between Fairfax and La Brea. So come along, won't you? I think you'll enjoy yourself. Chianti Restaurant, George Fisher, your maitre d' and manager. Well, I'd love you to hear Time's report on Lucille Ball. It's titled Grandpa's Girl, and you can read it toward the weekend. The most popular of all television stars, cried Walter Winchell on a Sunday night broadcast, has been confronted with her membership in the Communist Party. Winchell named no names. But 5 days later, California's Congressman Donald Jackson told the tale solely, as he explained it, to squash unfounded rumors. Lucille Ball, the redheaded star of I Love Lucy and television's current Queen of Queens, had admitted under oath to having registered as a communist in a Los Angeles election back in 1936. The congressman gallantly went on to say that there was no evidence that Lucy is or ever was a member of the Communist Party. Lucy's husband and co-star Desi cried, "The only thing red about this kid is her hair, and even that is not legitimate." But it was Lucy herself who explained how she could have innocently registered as a communist. She had done it all for Grandpa. Grandpa, she said, was Fred Hunt, a radical and self-appointed friend of the working man, with whom Lucille, then a struggling young movie bit player, her mother, her brother, and sister, were living in 1936. Grandpa's radicalism, she recalled, kept the household in an uproar. When the Balls hired cleaning women, Grandpa drove them away by telling them they weren't being paid enough. But Grandpa was 71 and subject to heart attacks. When he insisted that the Balls register as communists in 1936, they all did for fear that he would pop an artery. Lucy's story seemed to do the trick. Los Angeles newspapers ran headlines which read, "Lucy no red, and fans still love her. Desi too." Her sponsor Philip Morris forgave her, so did the network CBS and her last studio MGM. At a poolside press conference, Lucy announced that she had faith in the American people and was getting thousands of letters of commendation from them. But Lucy didn't appear to have forgiven columnist Winchell. She was asked how she thought he had discovered her secret. "Walter Winchell," she replied acidly, "knew I was going to have a baby before I did myself." Again tomorrow, George Fisher will record from the Hollywood scene over the CBS radio network.